Hello and God bless you. I hope everyone is doing excellent today. Today's message is entitled, Shepherds Smell Like Sheep. Again, that shepherds smell like sheep. Our golden text is from Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. And it reads, And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now remember, after the resurrection, when Jesus met with the apostles, he turned to Peter and he asked Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? And after Peter would respond, he said, feed my sheep. He asked him again, Peter, do you love me? And he said, lead my sheep. Pastors who are called by God, because see, there are a lot of people who are the went, but we supposed to submit to those who are the sent, because when they are sent by God, they are anointed by God, they have God's heart, and they will in no way, shape, or form abuse, mislead, or damage God's people. Let's look at something that Paul said in his letter to the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, it reads, And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So when it says, to know them which labor, that means those that work among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you or give you instructions. He's speaking to the members of that local body, that local church, concerning their attitude toward the spiritual leaders that's over them. He's instructing them. He's telling the members of the church, know the leaders that labor among you. The ones that instruct you, the ones that are supposed to be pastoring you. Paul is emphatically telling them, know these people. What am I trying to say? Well, that's what we're going to deal with today. Do you really know your pastor? So I want to begin this off by asking some questions. All right. Does your pastor know your name? Does your pastor know who you are and your family? Do you have his or her number? Do they have yours? How often do you all, that's you and your family and the pastor and the rest of the saints in the church, how often do all of you guys fellowship outside the church? Remember, Paul said, know them that labor among you. You can only know them by spending quality time with them. I have a few more questions. Do you all have Bible studies in the home? Or is everything the church building focused and centralized? You see, when Bible studies are held in the saint's individual home, you're open up to the personal space and essence of that family. You're open up to a world that you're not going to have access to by coming to a religious facility. It's a totally different vibe. Everything becomes more personal because now they may be cooking for you. Now you know how they live in, you know, and people are more vulnerable. It's not all religious and some of the fakeness that we get. You know, Sunday morning, we probably wearing our best and we putting on our best face. And, you know, we could have been fighting like cats and dogs all the way to the church. But, you know, after cursing one another out, we jump out the car and the first saint that we see, we saying, you know, praise the Lord, saints. I'm highly favored and blessed of the Lord. And so we go into, we put on that mask many times and we go into the religious mode. But when Bible studies are done in the believer's home, that there is a genuineness, there's a transparency, you know, and all the masks are taken off and we get to deal with the heart of that particular family. And when you walk into that type of atmosphere, everyone else follow suit. And so it's important that Bible studies are done in our homes and that we open ourselves up to really know one another, to connect on a deeper personal, emotional level, that we actually like one another in the body of Christ, that we're making an effort to actually be a family and not just quote scripture. It's something when we think about how religious we really are. Now, we may not do it intentional, but the purpose of my teachings many times is to show us ourselves when it comes to the spirit of religion, to show you how church have made us fake in a lot of areas and not hypocrites in a sinister way, but we've become actors. And when it comes to spiritual things, we've become actors in so many areas. And if we really knew it, I believe we would do something about it. And so I'm gonna try to give us a panoramic view of our spiritual walk. And so we can get rid of all of the fig leaves and fakeness and fallacy and dead works and stinking thinking that we've picked up over the years of religion. So we can get back to like Adam and Eve was in the garden, naked and unashamed, which is transparent before God. What you see is what you get. We're all under construction. We're all growing in grace, and we can deal with one another from that level instead of everybody trying to be the perfect little saint and putting forth this fake facade of who I think you think I should be, okay? So I know for a fact that home Bible studies helps in this arena. Now, another question I want to ask is, can you ask your pastor biblical questions? And if you do, do you ever get answers? And a lot of religious circles, this is a problem. Can you disagree and voice your disagreement with your leaders without retaliation, retribution, being isolated, and those in a hierarchy treating you shady or indifferent or, you know, you can tell there's a difference now. They're not as attentive to you. They're not as hospitable to you, simply because you asked some questions or you came with them with the word of God and say, I'm in disagreement because the Bible says here. We're all individuals and we have a right to our own thoughts and our own mind. And if this is a real family, and if you really love me the way the Bible says, the shepherd ought to love the sheep, it shouldn't be any problems with questions. The church is one of the few places where questions is looked upon as a negative. Any other higher learning or institution of education, question is usually looked upon as a good thing. It lets the teachers know that you're engaged, that you're learning, and that you want to grow. So, but we need to look at this, whatever church you're in and who your leader is, these are all signs of something's not right. It shouldn't be any problem with you asking your leader a question. It shouldn't be any problem, especially when you're standing on what the word of God says, because as leaders, the Bible, your leaders is supposed to be the expert in the scriptures. Not perfect, not all knowing, but this is what he do. See, plumbers have their tools. Lawyers have gone many years to school to understand the law. Any profession you look at, the object of that person being in that field is to become an expert in that particular field. Not in everything, but in that field. So as pastors and spiritual leaders, the word of God is the thing we are attempting to know. Continue in my word, then are you my disciples. You shall know the truth. And that truth that you know is what will help make you free. So as our occupation, this is what we do. And this is what I want you to understand. When someone stands up and says, I'm called by God, I'm legally ordained as a pastor, they're saying the word of God is my bread and butter. They're saying I'm choosing to be a pastor, and your welfare in every area, especially the spiritual part, I am committed to you, to your betterment, your protection, teaching you the things of God, growing you up by the word of God, through his spirit, under his grace. That's what they're saying. And so you can't say, I'm called by God and I'm sent to do all of this, and half do it, be lazy with it, or show discontentment and lack of concern when it comes to the people who are under you. And so I want you to wake up concerning this. If your pastor is an excellent pastor, and check off everything we're talking about here, you know them and they know you, you spend time outside the church, or she are great leaders, you have access to them, that's excellent. That means this word isn't for you. But there are multitudes of people who don't even realize they don't really know their pastor, and their pastor don't know them. So in other words, they are not properly being pastored. They are just at a church giving them their finances. So let's move on. So again, can you ask, you know, poignant, important questions? Because if you are a student of the word and you're studying to show yourself approved unto God in your own personal Bible study, you are going to be digging in the word of God. And there's some questions that are going to come up. And what's the point of having a leader if none of your questions can be properly answered and you look down upon, and now they're walking around with attitudes and ignoring you? That's not a real leader that's sent by God. Okay, so we're asking questions. For instance, you may ask, why do the leadership at church keep choosing outright homosexuals as the worship leader? You have a right to ask that question, because you know it's not right. And so you don't have to just sit there. And see, I tell people, sheep, when you look at what the scriptures say about sheep, they're innocent. They are in need of leading a shepherd, someone that would lead them. Sheep can be ignorant sometimes because they're vulnerable and they don't know. They need a leader, someone to guide them, someone to show them where the green pastures are, someone to actually show them the good water is. So when you look at the shepherd and the sheep in the natural, it's very important, the correlation, that we make it spiritual. But with all of the things that sheep may be vulnerable and susceptible to, I tell people all the time, the one power that sheep has, and I'm speaking in the natural, actual physical sheep, when you hear sheep speak, what does it sound like? Baa, baa, baa. That's what sheep sound like. So guess what? You may not have a doctorate degree in divinity. You may not understand eschatology and ecclesiology and systematic theology and all of theologies. You may not be on their level. That's why they're the spiritual leaders. But at the end of the day, when you see certain things out of pocket, that's not lining up with the word of God, and the lack of humility from the leadership to line up with the word of God, the one power that you do have is the power to say, bye, bye. See? Vote, not just with your mouth, but with your legs. We can't complain about what we permit. Do you hear me? Stop complaining about what you permit. When you see certain things and they're not being addressed, you have the option. The same way you walked in there, you can walk out. All right. Another question that may be asked from you to your leader is, why don't we have prison ministry or some type of ministry to help single moms, some type of ministry to help the widows in the church? These are poignant questions. And when we are students of the word, we're reading and studying our Bible, and we're praying and we're fasting, and we come across things that we see written in black and white, that every single church that names the name of the Lord should be doing, but you recognize that yours isn't, you have a right to question that and even challenge it, because you know it's based upon the word of God. Now, let me interject this. Anytime money is involved in ministry and they get up and they are soliciting, using whatever Bible verses, they are soliciting your personal finances, you definitely have a right to question everything. I'm going to say that again. Anytime a ministry, a church, solicit your own personal finances, you have a right to question everything about that organization. And if there's any problems, with giving you proper answers based on the Word of God, you do not have to support it financially. There isn't one scripture that states that God expects us to follow him blindly. The reason why he has given us the 66 books of the Bible, the reason why we have the written word of God, is so that we would not be ignorant. It's so that we would know his will, his ways, and how the church is supposed to operate. It's so that the believer would not be bamboozled, tricked, or abused. And so when you're reading your word and you come across the proper instructions and standard for the New Testament church, and you don't see it in operation in your local body, you better ask questions, get clarity, and if it's not sitting well with you, you have a right to exercise your options. Anyone saying anything different is part of the problem. As another example, now we know that Paul spent an entire chapter giving proper order on speaking in tongues in the church, okay? And this happened in my church when I pastored in the early 2000s. A member of the church on Wednesday nights, it was fashioned, the order of service was fashioned where you can either come up and ask me any question that you have concerning the church, really concerning anything, but, you know, in your own personal study time, and because that's why pastors are there, to answer your questions. Oh, you could write it down and submit it to the usher and I will read it. And so one of the saints had submitted the question based on the word of God. Paul said in this chapter that speaking in tongues publicly during a public spiritual service should not be done. So we read it and they were asking, why was it happening in our church? And I made the executive decision in that moment for it to never happen again. Why? Because if I am God's leader, I can't run a church based on what I believe. I can't run the church based on what I think and based on my past experience. See, it has to be based on the word of God. And when anyone challenges it, it should all come down to what the word of God says. So we read it. I said, sis, you are right. And I said publicly in front of everyone, as of today, no one is permitted to speak in your heavenly language, to speak in tongues, during a church service, because Paul said right here that it was out of order and that if there's any non-believers present, that they would think that you're mad. And so this is a personal prayer language. So as of today, if it is done, I will correct you. All the backlash that came behind that was unbelievable. Now, I understand it because some of us, you know, they grew up in certain Pentecostal charismatic circles. That's what they did, irregardless of what the Word of God said. And I was a product of that environment and never really challenged it. But once it came through a question from one of the members, it was my obligation as a man of the Word of God to check that. And I did. And some very faithful, benevolent, giving, charitable,
families left. But this is what I've always said. The only person that I'm really concerned about showing up for service is the Holy Ghost. Because if I know that I am doing what I'm called to do based on the word of God and through the love of God, if he show up, everybody is supposed to be there, which fall in line after that. But I cannot be doing things that he does not approve of just for the numbers. So anyway, that's an example. That's how it should be. The membership, the sheepfold, should be able to come and ask the leaders anything, especially based on the word of God, and it should be dealt with scripturally immediately.
So, there is no such thing as your pastor being too busy for you. Because my question is, too busy doing what? You are their responsibility. You are the reason why they are in the position as a pastor. You are their sole assignment. So, how they're too busy? And see, stop giving or making up excuses for your spiritual leaders. They are called to this. They are called to you. You are their personal responsibility. You are the reason why God taught them, anointed them, and sent them to you. So don't make excuses for the people whose sole responsibility is you and your house. Because you are the reason why they are a pastor, so they can take care of the sheep. Now, God's concern is not how big the ministry is, but how effective it is. How much of his love and his nature and his spirit and his word is being shown forth and revealed. See, and so many of us in the American church have a distorted view of what we think the church is supposed to look like and act like, and it's simply because we don't know what the word of God says. We are going off of what we see on TV, what we see in social media, and the ministries that we come from, instead of the standard of the word of God. Now, your pastor's job is not to shear the sheep. See, wool, the fabric wool, comes from the sheep. And so when sheep's hair is cut or sheared, it is manufactured into the fabric of wool. And so the pastor's job is not to shear you for his own clothing or his own financial gain. His job, the pastor, the shepherd's job, is not to slaughter the sheep so he can eat better and live better. The shepherd's job is not to sleep with the sheep. I'm going to say those again. His job is not to shear, slaughter, or sleep with the sheep. His job is explained through Jesus' words to Peter: feed my sheep and lead my sheep. So I'm asking again, can you reach your pastor when you need him? If you cannot, why are you there? If you cannot, why are you taking yourself and your family there? Why are you giving your time, your treasure, and your talent to that particular church? And why are you submitted to that particular leader? As a sheep, If you cannot get to your shepherd, if you do not know your shepherd, if time is not spent with your shepherd outside of the religious hours in a religious building, you don't really know them that labor among you. And the reason why so much crazy stuff and scandals go in the local church today is because people are living double lives. See, they're acting. The hypocrite means to be an actor on the stage. They're acting. We are acting on those religious days, especially Sunday. And then we go back to being who we really are when we leave the church. And so if it's like that, what's the point in all of it? We supposed to be in the truth and learning truth. But most of us many times is living a lie because we don't really know them that labor among us. We don't really know one another. Therefore, we don't even know how to like or dislike one another because you don't really know who that person and those persons are. You have to spend quality time with one another. Do you realize that your spiritual family is more real, if you would, than your natural family? Because what if everybody that has your last name, that's a part of your natural bloodline, are rejecting the knowledge of God? Okay, because at some point we're all going to die and we're going to live eternity in heaven or hell. Now, if everyone in your natural family that has your last name and in your natural family tree are rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have to pay the piper. But your spiritual family, you know, are going to be with you throughout eternity. Shouldn't you know them even more? Shouldn't you be spending even more time with the people that you know is going to cross over in the next life and still be in your life? We have to put things in perspective. Okay. So some of us have pastors that are untouchable and they've chosen to do this. And many times it's because of the number of members that they have. Now, did you know that no person can properly pastor thousands of people? It's impossible. Now, you may have some pastors that can remember your name because they have that type of memory, but no one pastor can pastor thousands of people. Now, if you go to a big church that actually have 500 or more members, he may be the leader, the senior pastor, but it's the pastors that's under them that's actually pastoring you, because one person cannot properly pastor that many people. See, this is what I'm trying to say. It can't be about big business. It can't be about all these other external things that we're getting caught up in. You know, the pastor's always gone because he's preaching at other people's churches and stuff. But if he is your pastor, he is called to you. The pastor always being gone and these ridiculous itineraries and them becoming icons and more famous, that has nothing to do with scripture. This is all man-made. If he accepted a call as a pastor, that means he is called to you. He is called to the members of that body. He is not called to anybody else. It's his job to feed you and to lead you. And you can't buy into accepting the excuses of them always being gone because of the so-called call of God on their life. If they are your pastor, they are called to you. Period. When God stepped in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, if there's anyone that had the mental, physical, spiritual, emotional capacity to pastor multitudes of people, it would have been God when he was here in the flesh. But when God was here in the flesh, the one who is called the Good Shepherd, he had 12. Don't buy into your leader saying that his call and his anointing is to more than what is sitting in that local church. He's called to you, and if you can't get to him when you need him, you need to reevaluate some things. And this is because God is not into the numbers that the American church is into. He could care less about how you grow in your church, because God starts on the inside out. Man and the enemy starts on the outside and works inwardly. It is more important if there's just 10 people sitting in that church. That pastor is called to pour himself and protect those 10 and give everything he got from the Lord to those 10 people. Jesus poured himself into those 12 to the point where he said, I've taught you everything, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to remind you of the things that I taught you. So this is the purpose of pastoring. It's not to have a name. It's to be the shepherd to those sheep. It's not to travel the world. It's to be the shepherd to those sheep. It's not to be famous and have celebrity status. It's to be the shepherd to those sheep. Anything other than that, you don't have a pastor. You have something other than that. What am I trying to say? The title of this message is Shepherds Smell Like Sheep. Okay, if you used to be somewhere where you actually meet a real shepherd that have sheep, they are going to smell like their sheep. Why? Because they're with the sheep all the time. See? And they're not going to smell like Hugo Boss. They're not going to smell like Chanel. See? So I'm asking a question, what do your shepherds smell like? This is important. Do they smell famous? Do they smell like the world? Do they smell like politician, motivational speaker? Do they smell like money? Well, I'm here to tell you that your shepherd is supposed to smell like sheep, because the sheep are the ones that they're spending all of their time with. They're in the field with the sheep. They're leading the sheep. They're caring for the sheep. They're healing the sheep. They're teaching the sheep. They're handling the sheep. They're loving on the sheep. They're guiding and feeding the sheep. Shepherds are supposed to smell like sheep, not like the stuff we see in operation in the church today. Pastors, I'm not supposed to be the bigger than life personalities that are parading around today in the American church. What we are witnessing in this generation is a perversion of the original. Jesus told others. Remember, there was times where Jesus would have healed some lepers or delivered someone, and he would outright tell them, don't tell anyone what just happened. This is actual in scripture. And it shows the humility that God himself, when he was here in the flesh, the humility that he had. He was not trying to be famous. He was here for a reason, to destroy the works of the enemy and give his life as a sacrifice for us. He was not here trying to be famous. He was not trying to be the most popular. He was not trying to be the most seen. He was just trying to be the most effective. And we have proof of this when he would actually tell people that he helped, that he healed, that he delivered. And he said, don't speak about it. He did not want them to not be a witness of the goodness of God. He was not here to have an individual reputation and be a celebrity. He was here to do the work of God. This is what we don't see in a lot of places. everybody's trying to build their own brand. Everybody's trying to be seen. Everybody's trying to establish their own name. But as leaders, we have one call, that's to the sheep and to establish the kingdom of heaven, not to establish our own brand, our own name, and our own kingdom. Now, I want to say something, and that's Jesus did not eat better, dress better, or live better than his own disciples. Period. This is not what we see in the body of Christ in America today. Unfortunately, as I previously stated, we see the perversion of the original, the perversion of God's standard, the perversion of what we see in the four Gospels and the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament. We see the opposite of that in operation, and no one's challenging it. So I'm here to tell you that Jesus did not dress better, live better, or eat better than his own disciples. But when we look in many local bodies today, the opposite of that is going on. If anybody's eating good, it's the pastor. If anyone is driving good, it's the pastor. If anyone is dressing good, it's the pastor. There's something wrong with that picture. And you know why we haven't challenged it? Because we do not know the truth. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's time to know the truth for yourself and deal with these issues and not be fooled and bamboozled anymore. Now, we previously stated that Paul said to know them that labor among you. Well, you do not know them if all they do is preach to you on Sunday and shake your hand. That's not knowing you. Anybody can get up and teach you. Anybody can give you five steps to a miracle. See, that's the, any leader would tell you that's the easy part of ministry. The difficult, if you would, part of ministry, because if you're called to ministry, there's a grace on you for the sheep that God sends you. Do you realize that God sends the sheep to the shepherd? We don't pick and choose. He sends them. And if you're called by God, there's a grace on that shepherd for the sheep that come through that door, no matter the issues, no matter the personality, no matter the problems, because wherever there's people, there's problems. The point and the purpose of that person being in leadership, because God have already graced and anointed and appointed them to you. See? And so when the oil of the Holy Ghost is present on that leader, he's going to have a grace and a supernatural ability to deal with whatever you bring into the table, because that is his purpose. That's why God called him and sent him, and that's why he's in your life. Stop making excuses for them not doing their job correctly based on the word of God. Now, and a lot of times we choose our leaders because of how nice they are and personable and gregarious and things of that nature. And of course, that's very important. No one wants to go to a church of rude, insensitive, judgmental, religious people. Okay. But that's not the only trait you should make your decision on. Because when I pastored, I wasn't there was a lot more of leaders who may have been outwardly more smiley and things of that nature than me. There's a lot more leaders more gregarious than me. Because that wasn't how God built me. I'm not the person that walks around with a permanent smile on their face. But what I am is real. And I took my responsibility very seriously. And so, but when it came to pastoring, because pastoring is a choice, it doesn't matter how awesome you think your call is, you have to make the personal decision to step in those shoes. And if you do it, you might as well do it right. So when I chose to make that decision to answer that call, I took it very seriously. I meant business. And I want you to hear this. I would do anything for my sheep. Of course, I'm not talking about anything illegal or that would violate the word of God. But I'm talking about I accepted that responsibility to the point where I knew I was called to those that God sent to me. And there was nothing that I wouldn't do for my people. Let me put that in context. If they needed a ride to work, I would be there for them. If they needed food, I was there for them. If they needed help financially, I was there for them. If they needed help with their kids, their business, any day of the week, other than Sunday, other than the day of Bible study, I was there for them. And they knew their pastor had their back. They knew they can call me and reach me anytime because this is what I was called to. I wasn't just called to be over them. I was called to be with them. When you see a shepherd in the field with the sheep, he is with them. He's not beating them. He's not bribing them. See, he's not shearing them and slaughtering them and sleeping with them and manipulating them. He is caring for them. He's leading them and he's loving them. This is what we were called to. And so my people knew. Call Pastor Romeo. Now, we're all here to be used. I was in their life and God sent them to my church because I was there for them to use. That's why he gifted me. See, we have the gift. The gifts of God are not for ourselves. They're for the people that God sends to us. Everything we have for God is for other people. So everything I had in my spiritual arsenal was for the sheep that he sent to me. So I'm here to be used. Now, it's my job to make sure that I'm not abused by the sheep. Because sheep bite. That's another message. But in the same way, it's your job to make sure that you are not abused and misused, abnormally used by your shepherd. It happens every day. Do not continue to put your leaders, your spiritual leaders, on pedestals that God never intended for them to be on. There's only one superstar in the kingdom. His name is Jesus. Are you there? God never intended for leaders to live and have the status that they have today. It's nowhere in scripture. This is the first generation to walk in that type of perversion when it came to shepherding. We got to know the word and get this right. As I end, God's true shepherds are not trying to be popular, famous, rich, celebrities. None of that. Because they have God's nature, his character, and his ways. The only thing we're trying to do is hear the Lord tell us, well done, good and faithful servants. We are not moved by and attempting to apprehend anything in the world. And we see this in a lot, unfortunately, in a lot of places with a lot of leaders. Like I said, their job is to teach us how to deny ourselves and you know, separate ourselves from a lot of the stuff in the world, especially the accumulation of stuff. But all too often, it's the pastor that have more stuff. It's the pastor that's more materialistic. It's the pastor that's more carnal than anyone else in the church. It's your job to see it, recognize it, and make adjustments. We're not trying to be celebrities. We're not trying to be icons. We're trying to be your shepherd and feed and lead you and hear the word of the Lord to us in that day. Well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into the blessings of the kingdom. God bless you.